Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, something doing the rounds at the minute is the overall confusion around how the Xbox Series S handles backwards compatibility. Now, this got initially reported by Video Game Chronicle. It's been picked up by IGN and done a few of the done a few laps around the old social interwebs. And I just want to clarify some stuff, because it's not as confusing as you might think. If you started reading stuff about how the Series S runs its own version of old-school games, 360 games, whatever, and that it's, you know, it's not the version that you expect, whatever, let's just clear that stuff up. So the way the Xbox have done backwards compatibility so far, if you got an Xbox One X, they have a sticker that says that this game is enhanced for the Xbox One X, which is obviously the generation we're on at the minute. And that label, that sticker thing, means that the developers themselves have had some hand in going back to those games and up-resing them. Maybe that's some more texture detail or frame rate data or whatever it is, something that boosts it a little bit with the developer having hands-on. If you're just doing backwards compatibility on a regular Xbox One or an Xbox One S, that's just playing the old game. Like, the console itself might, you know, the RAM might help out with performance or something, but the developers haven't had any hand in it. So the thing that's causing a little bit of confusion is that the Xbox Series S, Series S, the new one, that isn't the most deluxe one, is running games backwards compatible based on the same tech, the same approach as the Xbox One S. It doesn't have developer input. It doesn't have, you know, the Series S version of old games. It's just playing them the same way as the One S approached it. However, as Microsoft have clarified, the Xbox One S, the way its GPU works, the fact that they've dove into, you know, they have a console that automatically applies things like HDR, variable refresh rates, different things to do with performance and texture filtering, whatever. It'll do all those things automatically. So part of the new sell is that the console, the new console, will still auto-improve your old games in a way that the Xbox One S could never do. Yes. Holy crap, there's a lot of terms, and I hate that they've just, we're all just PC gamers now. We've all got to go and look at the sliders and the terminology. I will read a little quick quote, and then eventually you can exist and say some things, JB. But they did outline, this is part of the IGN thing, but Digital Foundry have got involved and clarified some stuff too. But the Series S does have improved texture filtering, higher and more consistent frame rates, faster load times, and auto HDR. Digital Foundry also said that because the GPU is so much more capable, you should be able to clean up some performance issues that might have struggled or been present on the Xbox One S with slowdown, things like that. And they could all run noticeably smoother on the new machine. So there is a reason to play backwards compatible stuff on Xbox One S, Xbox Series S, even though it's running them the same way as the Xbox One S. What do you think?
Yes, so it's, so just to get this straight, it's like the Xbox One S's approach to backwards compatibility, just a bit better. Is that essentially it? Yes. Well, yes. Scott Tilford, this gives me more of a reason to differentiate at least between the Xbox Series X and the Xbox Series S. Because, you know, currently there's been a bit of confusion about, well, why would you buy one over the other? What's the exact difference? And for me, that kind of added developer hand to the Xbox Series X's backwards compatibility, at least in some cases, you know, for the first party titles, Gears of War and stuff like that. That is an added edge, because that is a really cool way to re-experience those old games. How substantial that's going to be will remain to be seen. You know, will those kind of added manual touches be enough of a step up from this automatic boost mode, essentially, that the Xbox Series S implements to kind of justify picking up one console over the other? Because right now, you know, we've had these articles, we've had these interviews to go off of to understand the differences between each machine, you know, this generation and the next generation. but I would like to see if they can do it, some kind of, you know, confident showing of this is how your old games are going to look on the Xbox Series X. And they're still going to look pretty good in the Series S, but, you know, this is exactly how they're going to look there. I need to see it in motion, which we were talking before we started filming, and I did say that's quite hard to do. I think you've seen that over this generation when you get so granular in terms of, you know, the features that we're showing off. And, you know, when it comes to like HDR, which is difficult to showcase for people who don't have a HDR compatible device, or if you're showing it on something that on a software or kind of service that doesn't support HDR, these are features that can be difficult to show up off and kind of like sex up, as it were, from like a marketing perspective. I mean, I love Digital Foundry stuff, but I don't think that's exactly the kind of marketing blitz 30 second TV spot that Microsoft would want from to sell like consoles.
No, and yeah, like you said, you mentioned this before filming. Just for me, I just think that because there's such, like, for example, with the PS4 Pro and with the, when the One S and the One X started being talked about, they, and not necessarily dropped the ball with it, but you've seen the rise of Digital Foundry, like, come in to sort of satisfy that demand. People do want to know what their games are going to look like on various different systems and different, you know, performances and different ways that they can be shown off. And, you know, they did, at the big, like, I don't know, I think it was last year now, they did those really short little clips where it was like, this is what the Series X dashboard's going to look like. This is what Gears of War, the original Gears of War, looks like running on Series X or running on next gen. Look at the skies brighter because we've got this auto HDR thing. They could just put some of those videos out. Just put something. I mean, if I was them, I would do like a full-on backwards compatible showcase and go, look, like, here's your legacy of Xbox. Here's what we can make it look like. And maybe that is just some side-by-side stuff. But yeah, like, maybe it's hard to make it work for a mass audience, but it's not for them anyway. Like, they're going to be snatching up the Series S regardless. Like, show us what something like brute force looks like in 4K or whatever. I did want to mention one other thing is that Xbox's director of program management, they've been doing demos of the Series S's load times, certain games running on the Series S, without, like, you know, necessarily showing them off on the main YouTube channel or whatever. But he did say that they have a full tech breakdown coming soon. So assumedly they're going to do something regarding this stuff in the future. But I did want to mention in regards to 4K, the Series S isn't capable of creating 4K. It can upscale to 4K. It can't render in 4K, which is one of the major differences between the S and the X. Because from all my research, and I'll probably get salvaged in the comments again, I'm trying. It seems that the main thing between the Xbox, the Series S and the Series X seems to boil down, and I do mean boil down in console terms. I'm boiling this all the way down, PC people, because it seems like it boils down to storage, RAM, and the ability to render in 4K, which is obviously makes the Xbox Series S incredibly viable because you're going to get all these auto enhancements, the HDR, the variable refresh rates, everything else, all the automatic things that are going to work. And the Series S can run in 1440p at up to 120 frames per second. So it does make that this like really good, you know, next gen machine. But that also means that on the developer side, you know, they do have to try and cater to both sides. And how do they sort of, for example, if you're Ubisoft making Assassin's Creed, how do you maintain the value proposition for that game with all these different, how do you sort of give a, you know, different amounts of power to the version that could run on the X and still make it so that people who bought in on the S are still feel valued? Like, it's just going to be such a minefield.
It is going to be. You know, when it comes to like that kind of like scalability, I feel like, you know, developers, it's going to be extra work for developers, and I don't kind of wish that on them, but they've done it before. You know what I mean? We've had a certain level of scalability all the way through video games, especially when PC started to kind of like dominate and stuff. We've had these games running on a bunch of different kind of platforms and a bunch of with a bunch of different features built in. I have a few questions about the Series S in a few ways. One is the kind of like resolution, like you said, it's going to upscale. It's going to do like essentially what the PlayStation 4 Pro does now, and kind of like you push that 1440p resolution up to, you know, not native 4K, but something that appears like that. Which is kind of, that's the reason why I wouldn't buy it personally, you know, because, you know, I'm looking for that next step in my machines currently already.
You've got all the nits, mate.
Yeah, and again, to compare it to the PlayStation, not that I'm saying the PlayStation 4 Pro is automatically better or anything like that, just that it's the only thing that I have personally that can compare it to. But this, all of this kind of automatic, you know, up-resing or automatic, you know, boosting sounds like the boost mode on the PlayStation 4 Pro, which for me wasn't awesome. Like, it was fine, it was good, it was welcome in some ways, but it wasn't worth buying one console over the other for, you know what I mean? I don't look at my PlayStation 4 Pro and go, yes, I'm so pleased I bought this for the boost mode. This has made my life better. And the third worry I have Is the storage, because that's only, I think it's storage 500 gigabytes deal, yeah. or something.
512, I think. But I mean, it'll be less than that anyway once the OS is accounted for and stuff like that. So
yeah, exactly. But which for an old digital console is kind of a bit worrying, because I don't know about you, Scott, but my even Modern Warfare right now is more or less dominating my entire hard drive on my PlayStation. So I do have.
They said
those...
they were going to knock the file size down, but they just haven't at all.
Oh, well, they keep trying to do it. They marginally knock it down with every new update, but even then you have to have like 100 gigabytes to download the file. Yeah. That's going to make it smaller. It's a complete nightmare and a minefield. But ultimately, I think, you know, all of this has to be taken into consideration of the price. You know, it is ridiculously cheap, the Xbox Series S, and it is such great value for what you're ultimately getting that I wonder if kind of like these negative aspects or these wonkier aspects that we don't know much about, like just how thorough this kind of, you know, backwards compatibility implementation is going to be, how much it's going to boost games, when will we see it with our own eyes? Like, maybe that's just not something they're worried about, because they're like, that will come in time. Right now, all you need to know is the next-gen Xbox is going to set you back £250, and you can play these games at launch, and the rest will, you know, you can find that out yourself. These are just extra bells and whistles, like you said, primarily for the hardcore players, you know, interested in resolutions, interested in these variable refresh rates or frame rate or whatever. Whereas the, you know, the casual Joe out there just sees an Xbox, sees it's cheap,
casual
sees there's some great games in it.
We should bring in our own Joe Johnston to be casual Joe.
He's already got a role as Banana Joe. He can't play two roles.
But I was thinking, like, I mean, they're riding so high on the general wave of, oh my God, next gen is available for $300 / you know, £300 or whatever at the minute, that they don't want to get in the way of that. Even though a lot of the features that they're talking about, like for me, I get hung up on that stuff. I'm like, well, I want to see your side by sides. I want to see the load times. I want you to zoom in and prove that the frame rate difference is right, is there, that somehow the console is adding that stuff automatically. I want to see all those things. And maybe that just is something that they're just not going to devote that much time to, or a platform to, and someone at Digital Foundry can step in instead. But it's so fascinating, the idea of throwing in an old game and having it up-res to such a degree that it looks like a modern day remaster. Not a remake, not the Activision level, but something that they could put out with some developer insight. That idea of the console sort of doing that automatically is just fascinating. So I think they have more to show off, and, you know, like I said, that Jason Ronalds said that they are going to do a tech breakdown soon, so we'll keep an eye out for that. Obviously the PS5 thing is on Wednesday as well, so we'll see how that goes. It's all heating up, JP. It's been a while since we've had actual information on these things.
Exactly. I've seen a lot of commenters online say that we're in the end game now, Scott Tilf, and it really feels like it. We're in one of those 40 million different alternate futures where these consoles actually come out.
So just the flood of everything coming down, and just trying to be like, oh, hold on, let me just figure out rate refresh rates before we go forward.
Exactly.
But yeah, let us know anything down in the comments below, where your general sort of mentalities are on analysing, on reading the terrain going forward as to the Series X and the Series S and their capabilities. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.